Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. The ideal type of member in a church is one who is permanent. A permanent member is a congregant who is unmovable, stable, and dependable throughout the years. In this Wednesday's message, Bishop Dag will help you recognize the importance of being a constant member in a church. Today, you'll learn more about the benefits and blessings of permanence. Find out more about the value of faithfulness and stability in the house of God from today's word. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. 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 Let us pray. Father, we are thankful today. We are thankful for your holy word. We are thankful for your blessing and for giving us an opportunity to be here today. Speak to our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today I'm preaching about how to be a permanent church member. Tell somebody permanent. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, it's very important that you see yourself as a permanent member of what God is making you a part of. Amen. Amen. And the first reason, the first way, is both a way and a reason, all right, is to see yourself as part of a family. Amen. Amen. You must see yourself as part of a family. You see, when you are in something, you belong to something, there are different ways a person thinks about it. You get it? For instance, when people belong to their supporters of Kotoko or supporters of Hearts of Oak, they see themselves in a certain way. And that is why they are participating. Now, there are things that people go in and come out of, like marriage. What I'm sharing will really help you when you get married. Yeah. You see, marriages break up not because of the problems per se that people have. Because there are a lot of problems. People have a lot of problems in marriage. All right? Because the reason why people have a lot of problems is because marriage is between two fallen beings. Do you get what I'm saying? Can you imagine a prison full of all bad people? Obviously, it's not going to be easy in the prison. There will be bad people, and they're all stuck together. So there's a prison is a place where you have to have guards, armed guards, cameras, and so on, because you put a lot of bad people together in one place. People who do bad things and are by nature bad. All right? So if you have a prison, you always have things like that. Now, marriage is something like that. It's like two bad people who have been stuck together. And that's why you have a lot of problems. Do you understand it better now? Do you understand why your parents are not smiling so much? And they say, go and talk to your mother. Go and tell your father. Your father said this. Your mother said that. So, that is because Adam and Eve, when marriage was created, When God created Adam and Eve and he created marriage, they were perfect people. They were without sin. They hadn't fallen. Do you see? They were in the garden. That was ideal. They were perfect, sinless, good people. No serpent had bitten them. No snake had come into the picture. All right? But after that, after Adam and Eve, no one has ever had the opportunity to be perfect. I'm perfect and you are perfect and we are married. It's always Adam and Eve are the only people who had that type of marriage. Then after that, it's been fallen versus fallen. Fallen to fallen. That's why some of you have never seen your fathers before. Because a fallen man met your fallen mother. And because of her fallen state, she also drew him in. And he also fell. And they all became a beast. That's why some of your parents don't pay your school fees. That's why some of you are struggling. And that's why the world is the way it is. And that's why one man has children with so many people. And that's why there's so much HIV. And that's why all the things that are in the world are the way they are. It's because it's a fallen race, like a corrupted group of people that are trying to do things that perfect people were originally set to do. Do you understand it? So Adam and Eve had two experiences. The experience of the perfect, what do you call it? Marriage. And then they also had, after they were fallen, two fallen beings staying together. Then they gave birth to murderers. One was a murderer and he killed his brother. And only when there were only two cars in the world, they had an accident. Can you imagine? There were only two cars in the world and there's an accident. Wow. Anyway, so in today's world, for how many of you want to be happily married forever one day? Wow, that's our dream. Everybody has that dream. So what I'm preaching about will really help you to be able to be married one day, happily ever after. So even though I'm preaching about the church, just put it on your side mind that this one is a key that helps something difficult that is coming. Are you with me? So how to stay how to be a permanent church member is the same as how to be permanently married. Almost the same. The reasons are the same. The ways are the same. And basically, it comes from the way you think. How you think. You see, older generations, even amongst pastors, had a mind that some things are impossible. That was their mind. That it's impossible to divorce. It's out of the question. No matter what, it does not happen. That mind is the mind with which it's possible to be permanent. Without that mind, no relationship of yours will be permanent. Because circumstances keep changing and causing the initial relationship to be affected. Yes. That is why older pastors and older people, when they married, that was it. It's like there is nothing, it's not possible to be separated. Whatever it comes with. If you have a child or you don't have a child, or the person is like this or the person is like that, that is how it is. That's what you got. And with that mind, they were able to stay. Do you understand? So it is the way you think. And so coming to church is a place where you come and learn how to think. That's why the Bible says that you should be renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you come to church, your computer is being reprogrammed. Your computer up here is being recharged with a certain kind of thinking. And when you think in the right way, you begin to live differently. You see, if a madman or mentally ill man is running 100 meters, and you say, on your marks, you may have the best muscles and very fast from the start. So when you say, on your marks, get set, go, then he stands up and starts laughing. Although he has the best muscles and is the fastest, because his mind is not working well, nothing else is going to work well. Wow. That is why I'm preaching to you, so that your mind will be reprogrammed. Because when you think in the right way, the good course you are doing and the potential that you have in this life will turn out well. But if not, you may have the best muscles, the best course, do the best degree, have the best beloved, have the best marriage. But because your mind is going in a different way, when they say, get set, go, then you start laughing. Because your mind is not working well. Hallelujah. So, as you come to church, you are not coming to hear lectures on physics or philosophy, but you are coming to hear input from the Word of God, which will reprogram your thinking. As you can see, the people were trying to show us in the film stars how to think properly. You know? Wonderful. So, you are blessed today as you are here, and you are hearing how to be a permanent church member, which is the same as how to have a permanent relationship. Because some of you already, you have been married, but the number of relationships is a lot. What a shock. At your age, you are already a de facto divorcee. Okay, you have virtually divorced several relationships. People that you told, I love you, I will be with you forever. Where are they today? Where are they today? So it already shows that you are programmed in the wrong way, because your relationships are not lasting. A young, beautiful girl like you, how many people can you have been in love with at this stage? Some of you, every pimple on your face is one relationship. Because you started with a clear face. But now, you see that it produces pimples. They are called love pimples. Do you understand my message? All right. So the first way that you have to think of yourself when you are part of the church is that you are part of a family. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15. It says, for of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Amen. We are part of a family. Ephesians 3 verse 15 says that Paul was describing the church and God, and he said, of whom, speaking about the church, the whole family, there's a family, it's a family in heaven and on earth is named. Like, for instance, in the Lighthouse family, some are in heaven and some are on earth. Some are in heaven already. Some have taken the lead. Yes. Some are in heaven. So there's the family is like how you have a family. Some are in London and some are in Ghana. Or some are in America and some are here. Isn't it? That's how it is. We have a family. Some are in heaven and some are on earth, but it's a family. And in the first love family, Lighthouse family, some are in heaven, some are on earth. I know some who are in heaven today. Yeah. And that is a reality. Now, when you are part of a family, you cannot change your name. When you get angry or when something bad happens, you don't get up and say, I'm no more Ose. I'm no more Owusu. I'm no more Badegbe. I'm no more Atuguba. I'm no more Enim Yeboah. No. You say, well, whatever is happening, it's my family. Yeah. Is it true or it's not true? How many know bad things in your family? Some of you, none of your sisters have married before. Yeah. Some of you, it's only unhappiness. Some of you, poverty, but still you are in your family. Totally, fully, and full time. So that is how it is when you are part of a family. Your mind is, you never think, oh, I'm going to change my name at Register Generals. I'm going to remove my family name. I'm going to change. How can that be? But you see, when people are in a church and they don't have that mind, what happens is that as something happens, I've removed my registration. I'm going to Roman. I'm going to Methodist. I'm going to Central. I'm going to my moral church. So as you are here, see yourself as part of a family. Amen. Not so say, oh, me, I've got a family already. I don't need any other family. My family is very good. Wow. Wow. Mr. Big Stuff, you've got a family already. You watch and see. As life goes by, you are going to find out that a family is more than those two or three people that you know in your house. Watch and see. Watch clearly and carefully in life. You see that some people will be like your brothers, your cousins, whatever. They are not biological family members, but they are your family. Yeah. The blood of Jesus Christ is thicker, if you like to use that expression, than the blood of Owusu, Ose, Oche, Amete, Weble. Amen. And for me, I've always seen the church as a family. That is why when people leave the church, it always affects me as though a family member was leaving. It always has that effect for me because I see the people that I'm working with, I don't see them as employees. I never use that, even that word. And you can ask, if you like, you can ask somebody who is close to me. What kind of relationship there is? Is it a job or a family? And the same thing goes for church, the whole church. I see the church as a family. So honestly, for me, anytime somebody walks away, leaves, it hurts. It's as if a member of my family is dead. You know, when you hear of a funeral, usually it doesn't affect you. Till it's somebody close by. Then you say, hey, the feeling that you have, a certain feeling comes and stays every day. When you wake up, you have a certain feeling. Yeah. And it stays for some time till that feeling goes away. If you've ever had a family die, you will see, look, when you wake up in the morning, there's a feeling. It's like something terrible is happening. And it stays for a long time before it eventually fades away. Yeah. So for me, you leaving the church or walking away, it means when you came, you didn't see it the way I did. You see? And you remember how your heart was broken when that brother left you? Because as you were sleeping with him and giving him your everything, you thought it's forever. I love you. I love you. It's forever. I will do everything. But he didn't think so. He was saying to himself, today is 10 days since I knew this girl, so I've even delayed. I should have slept with her within 1 week. His mind is working differently. You are thinking that you have found the love of your life. I found it. Where is he? I found it. You thought you had found new life, new love. Sing that part for me.
I found it. I found it. I found new life in Jesus Christ. I have love and peace.
You thought you had love and peace.
I have joy and hope. All in Jesus Christ. There is love and there is peace in the Lord. He will give you joy and give you hope. If you sought after these things in diverse ways, only Jesus can satisfy you.
Wow. Think about all the people that you sought it after. When you met that guy, your eyes were dreamy. Your eyes were, although your eyes were originally black, they became brown. They started watering. And you were melting, and your heart was moving with it. Your heart was not stable on the left. It was moving to the right and to the left, to the right and the left. After you realized that, Asomua, the guy was not thinking about it like that. Oh. The guy was not thinking about it like that at all. India, he was just, I mean, he has added you to his list. And you were singing, I found it. Your mother was advising you, said, but I found it. The father was advising you, said, but I found it. As a man, the guy was thinking. So as you've come to the church, we are thinking of you as a family member. Don't think of us in a different way. As you are sitting here, don't think in a different way. Don't think that, oh, as for me, I'm just passing through. Are you the Holy Spirit? Are you the Holy Spirit? You are passing through? Hey! You have to think of yourself the way I'm thinking of you. Otherwise, what you do to me, it will be done to you, and you will see that it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to think of somebody in a permanent loving way, and the person doesn't think of you in that permanent loving way. It's a difficult experience. Tell your neighbor, I'm thinking in a permanent loving way. Tell your neighbor, I see you as a member of my family. The family of God. Amen. Number two, you must see yourself. This is how you must think. If you don't think that way, you will always do the wrong thing. Number two, you must think of yourself as a part of a building. Yeah. And all these are in the Bible. God teaches us that we are part of a building. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, it says, we are laborers together. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You are God's building. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Ye are God's building. You are part of a building. So see yourself as part of a building. When you get married, you want to see yourself as like it's something we are building together. My darling husband and I are building our lives together. Don't you say something like that. My darling husband and I are building our lives together. We are living together happily ever after. Darling and I. Honey and I. Wow. These are your dreams. We are building our lives. So you see your marriage as a kind of building. And when you come to the church, you have to see it as part of a building. Will you be happy when you wake up in the morning and you find out that your toilets have left the house? And they said they will stay in the house again. I mean, will you be happy if a section of the house just goes away? That is why every time I have received church members, and like all of you first love people, I see you as my family. Yeah, either I attend your funeral or you attend mine. It's not that when you die, we've quarreled. So I don't talk to you and you also don't talk to me. So I can't come to your funeral. Or when I come to your funeral, the family members will be annoyed to see me. No. You see, relationships are for life. The relationship that I made on this university campus, they are lifelong relationships. My wife, I met her here. I met her at the Spanish department, right walking through there. Where else would I meet my wife? I wasn't doing Spanish. I was walking through. I was passing through on my way to the gardens to go to pray when I saw her. And I said, oh, how are you, sister? But I couldn't remember her name. Yeah, I couldn't remember her name. So I just smiled and they said, where you talk when you don't remember somebody's name? So I talk in that way. And then I later asked my roommate, what's that girl's name? Yeah. Not that I was interested in her. I wasn't interested in anybody. I just knew that she was one of the sisters who had come. Yeah. The relationships I made, Bishop Saki, I saw him here. I saw him in this school. A lot of people, Pastor Jake, Bishop Jake, a lot of the people that relationship, they are long, Dr. Nosh and other people, I met them here. I met them in this school. I have been, they are lifelong relationships. Yeah, they are part of my life. The people that you meet, you think of yourself as a building. So see yourself as a permanent part, as a part of a building. Think that way and you will be thinking correctly. When I entered a relationship with my beloved on the 26th of August, 1985, around 4 p.m. in the afternoon, I said to her, I will marry you. Will you marry me? I had no intention of changing my mind. And it's not as though when we were in a relationship, we didn't have quarrels or problems. We did. We had issues. I never had a mind that this relationship I've entered is something I'll come in and then after some time, I'll look at them, I'll escape, or if I see a certain fair lady passing by, then I will also change my mind. No. Why? The people who have assisted me and helped me on my left, on my right, Bishop Saki, Bishop Eddie, I don't see why anybody can take their place unless death will remove somebody. It's the same people. I have no, there's not, my mind has never, even the thoughts don't come to my mind by God's grace. Not that I'm good. But it's like relationship. They are permanent. It's like the family. It's a part of a house. When I built my house and I have a toilet, I've never thought that I'll ever come and the toilet has left. Or I come and the kitchen says that it won't stay in the house again. The kitchen has gone. That is how it is when some of you go. Yeah. So as you are in the church, see yourself as a permanent fixture. That cannot be, because the Bible says you are God's building. You are God's building. Think of yourself that way. And when you do, you will see that permanent friendships and relationships, they are the ones that give rise to fruits. These people who come, so I'm here for 2 years. I'm here for 1 year. I'm here for this period. Oh, whilst I'm on campus, you know, it's situational commitment and so on. The relationship that you are getting here cannot go further. All of you standing here dancing, I know all of you now. When I came, I didn't know you. But I know, I when I see this one, is this everybody, almost 100%. Yeah. It's the beginning of a relationship. It's the beginning of your attachment to a house. Yeah. So you don't just get up and say, we are going. Going where? Going where? Just as God has started to join you. Just as the mason has taken his cement and has started putting the block and has started adding you to the house that is being built. Then you suddenly get up and say, I'm off. I've changed my mind. I realize I'm a toilet in your house, but I'll be a kitchen in somebody's house. Wow. Number three, You are part of a garden. You are part of a garden. We just read the scripture. You are laborers together. You are God's husbandry. This is an old King James Version. American, all the other versions will say you are God's garden. God's garden. Amen. How do you treat a garden? And go to now Isaiah chapter 5 verse 5. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden thereon. You see, when you are part of God's garden, when you are part of the garden, you are being watered. As you are here, I'm watering you. I was happy when some of my elders told me they had first class. Yeah. They said, well, we had first class. They said, the strategy you gave us in church to learn with past questions, we call it magic. Yeah. To learn with magic, it helped us. We had first class. I said, oh, I will bless you. I said, I'm going to bless you with an iPad for getting first class. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. They are in the church and they've been listening and say, oh, this is the strategy. Because I've been in this school. This is my school. I came here. 1982. Where were you? And you say, because... Were you born? Your parents were not even beloveds. Wow. So you see, I've started watering you. Some of you, your marriages are going to be better than your mother's marriage and your father. I've been protecting you. I pray for you and cover you and protect you in the spirit. I was up in the middle of the night praying for you. Yeah, praying for you. When the Kenyan bombings happened, I called my pastor in Kenya. Is everybody okay? Is everybody okay? And he said, only one of our church members was affected. He said she was in the car park when the Al-Shabaab terrorists entered the car park. She was there with her husband and her two small children. And when they entered, they started shooting. They shot everybody. And he said that she said to herself, her husband immediately took one of the children and jumped over a wall and ran away. But she was having a small baby, so she couldn't run away. So she dived under a Range Rover that was parked there. And other people who were in the car park also dived under. And the terrorists came and they shot all the people who were under the car park. They sprayed all of them until they stopped moving. Then after 2 hours, suddenly somebody came into the car park and started shouting, police, police, the police are here, police are here, come out. And some people who were not dead came out of the under the car, not knowing that it was not the police. It was the Al-Shabaab people. And they sprayed all the people. And our church member was under. She said there were 8 dead bodies on top of her, around her. And she's the only one who survived. The only one who survived. I tell you, God's covering and God delivers. Yeah. Yeah. When you say you are part of a garden that is being watered and covered and prayed for, I'm telling you, everybody that, not that they are saying it in a film, real life, there were 8 dead bodies. She's so traumatized. And the bullets scraped her. Just touch, scraped her leg like that. So everybody around died. With her, she survived with the baby. How the baby would not be crying. They sprayed everybody to be sure that everybody is dead. Yeah. Now listen, I'm saying this to tell you that when you are part of a church, you say, what shall I do to my garden? I'll remove the hedge so that you can be attacked fully by animals. You see, in other words, when you are part of a garden, you are being protected and watered and pruned. Sometimes you come, you don't hear a nice thing that you like. It's you are being pruned to be nicer. When you are part of a garden, you are the lawn. You don't get up and say, I the lawn. I'm no more here. I'm off. And you see the grass walking out of the house. Walking grass. Number four. Number one is what? You are part of a what? Family. Number two, you are part of what? Number three, you are part of what? A garden. Number four, you are part of a tree. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you cannot do anything. John 15 verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branch. Now if Jesus is the vine and we are branches, then it means we are branches and branches and branches and branches and branches of the branch. Yeah. And what happens to a branch when you cut it off? Yeah. You see, I'll tell you something. When people want to backslide, that is when they leave churches. Leave me, let me backslide. How many have backslidden before and you came back? Excursions. You are part. And that's as soon as you disconnect, you start to wither and wither and wither. I remember a brother I used to do follow-up with him. He was part of the branches. He was one of my branches. I used to go everywhere with him, following up lost souls. Through him, I went to Dansoma and places I had not been to in those days. But when he got disconnected, he turned into a dry branch, ready to be bent. Yeah. Be careful, those of you who don't realize. You see, I see that the most immature people don't understand relationships. When you are a fool, you don't understand relationships. When your mind is darkened, you don't understand relationships. You only understand money, this, that. Life is more than money, this and that. Look, even in the military, at a point it's by relationships. Even politics, at a point it's by who you know. When President Mahama became the president, who did he choose? People have been saying, why didn't he choose this and why didn't he choose that? He chose the first people he chose. He chose his chief of staff, this and that. Whoever his main people are. I'm sure that if I was him, that's what I would do. If I became the president, I would introduce people. People wouldn't know them. I said, who is this? Minister of construction. I have about 500 ministries. Some of you would be ministers in my government. People will see a young person. Ah, who is this? I said, it's Tilly. She's the minister of evangelism. It's by relationship too. So keep your friends. Keep your friendships. People never expected my president. No one knew Mahama would be important. No one knew he'd be important. But all those who had relationships from old, they benefit. So keep your relationship. You never know which relationship will be important. Instead of taking pliers to cut off. The Al-Shabaab, they took pliers. The people that they caught, they took pliers and removed fingers from the people. Yeah. They took pliers and removed their fingers before they killed them. Yeah. What do you think will happen to a finger when you remove it and put it down? It's finished. To be dead. One day I was in the theater, they cut off somebody's leg from here. When they cut it off, they lifted it like this. They held their leg and they were going with the leg. What do you think is the future of that leg? It's finished. Because it's disconnected from the source of blood, life, nutrients, oxygen, everything. Disconnected. They held it like that. It was going. The next 2 days later, I came to the ward. The man himself was alive, but his leg had been thrown away. That's why sometimes when people leave churches, they think the church will get spoiled. And you see that And that man, he was sitting on the bed, smiling and laughing. He was smiling. Rikiti, he had visitors, was visiting time. I was surprised because I had never seen an amputation before. And he said, very gory operation where they used a saw to cut the leg. Eish! And they were cutting the leg, cutting the leg, cutting the leg. When I saw the man sitting there with the bandage and he was smiling and they were visiting, people had visited him, and I said, wow. There's a people, orangus, they always feel they'll spoil the church. They think in their head, you are lucky I've come to church today. You are lucky that I'm around. Like I wouldn't have come. You are lucky that I've come. I wasn't even coming. My friend, you are the one who is lucky that you have come. You are the one who should thank God that you are here today to hear the word of God. That leg was gone forever. Yeah. And even though we are sad that you are gone, we are not going to cry forever. When you look, you see that we are happy. Number five, because you will flourish. You must have a mind that you flourish when you are planted. You flourish when you are planted. You flourish. Everybody say flourish.
Flourish.
Say do well.
Expand,
flourish when you are planted. You see, when you are uprooted from where you are planted, how many trees do well? Just a few days ago, I planted a tree in my house, but I got that tree as a grown-up tree. The tree was already grown up because I didn't have time for it to start from a seed. So I went for a grown-up. When I put it, I watered, still it couldn't grow, it couldn't survive, it died. Because you see, many times when you are transplanted, you have been transplanted from Lighthouse to Christ Embassy, from Lighthouse to Central Gospel, or from Central Gospel to here, or from this one to that. Usually the transplanting doesn't go well. Especially when you are grown or you've been there for some time. Yeah. Usually transplanting doesn't go well. In fact, when you transplant an organ, like a kidney, whatever, you have to take medicine for a long time to suppress the rejection. Because the body rejects it. I said, I don't like this kidney. You know, when the kidney is here, when they transplant it, they take somebody's kidney, they put it down here. So you have three kidneys, one, two, and then this one. The two are not working. The one small one down here is working. And they put it, and they give you a lot of medicine that your body shouldn't reject it. Because the body won't say, who is this? New person. So when you are a member of a church and you go and start rejoining things, you see that at a point, the people say that, you are who? And if you don't take care, you get rejected. That is why when God has planted you somewhere, understand, hey, God brought me here. Some say, I didn't see God bringing me here. You didn't see God. Then you wait forever. You wait forever to see him. I didn't see God. I don't see how God brought me. I was just there when somebody came to call me from my room. And I don't know why I came here. I haven't seen God. It was this guy, Hilali man, that I saw. Listen, that's how God works. If you think you ever see God fully, you will wait forever and forever and forever. You are a tree. I said you are a tree. God has planted you here. So receive the watering and start enjoying the dancing. This is where you are going to have your wedding. Hey! I said, this is where your wedding will be held. Yeah. You flourish. You see, as you stay, you flourish. Things get better. This way you will prosper. Do you believe it? This way you're going to have your wedding, all of you. And by God's grace, I'll be officiating all your weddings. Live, live, live. I like weddings more than funerals. Just organize it, I'll be there. Give me your colors and I'll see if I have a colorful color to match your colors. Almost everybody that is with me, I officiated their weddings. Almost everybody. Almost all my bishops. All my pastors. All of them officiated their wedding. Counseled them. Yeah. Ida has been singing with me for more than 10 years. When I saw it, she was a skimpy little tech student. In second year. What do you call it? Level what? 200. Yeah. to see her. She was singing. And I said, my heart was drawn to her and to her singing. I said, wow, look at this skimpy little shrimp. Maybe something can come out of it. You see, it was the beginning. Then you wake up one day, so I'm transplanting soon. If you stay planted, you start, one day you see that you got flowers and people will be coming. Yeah. I remember the first day she sang that song. She sang that song. When she sang it, I didn't know she'd be singing many songs. But a particular day that I remember, remember the song?
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And in my heart and with my song, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified.
When I heard this thing, and I said, wow, what a shock. So if you stay planted, you flourish. Yeah. One day we were in Cape Town in a bus. It was dark. We were flying from Cape Town to Port Elizabeth for a camp meeting. I was with about 12 people. And Ida was in the bus. And I don't know how somebody saw her sing. Some people came to see her when we were checking in. They just wanted her to sing. When she sang, as we were checking in, she turned around. She was singing. Then she sang a sample. And the guy was slain at the check-in counter. That's why we check in. To fly. Some of you have not flown. When I say check in, you don't understand it. Receive it. You will be traveling soon in Jesus' name. You don't understand check in. So, as we were checking in, then this person came. So when she sang, the person fell down. Yeah, he was lying flat at the airport in Cape Town. Yeah, on the floor. The anointing was moving. Then when we got onto the bus, that was taking us to the plane. Somebody came and said, wanted you to sing. Somebody came to us and said, can you sing? Can you sing? Sing something. We're all standing in the bus. White people were all there. So she looked at me and I gave her a signal. And I told her what to sing. And she sang it. We were all quiet in the bus. Sing what you sang.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
The whole bus was quiet.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Wow.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
No more dying.
No more dying there. We are going to see the King.
Wow.
Oh, no more dying there.
Everybody heard the message.
We are going to see
you
the
see
King.
See this long bus. Some of you don't know those type of buses.
No more dying
that
there.
That take you to the aeroplane, isn't
we
it?
Are
but you will be going soon. You will
see.
See
the King.
Ash.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
No more sorrow.
Oh, no more sorrow there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more sorrow there. We are going to see the King. No more sorrow there. We are going to see Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King.
Amen. Is it not beautiful? But you see, you never know that this little connection that you have is going to grow when you transplant yourself at the wrong time. You become like my tree that I've transplanted. One day my mother came to my house and gave me a wonderful tree when I first moved to my house. She gave me a tree, a very nice tree, because she's good at planting trees. As the tree grew, I realized that it was a beautiful tree. It's still there. Somebody came to my house one day and said, this tree, if you have this tree in America, your house value will be more than $15,000 more. Yeah. So as the tree was growing, I realized that the tree was too close to the house. Because we thought it was a small thing. But not knowing that it was becoming a big thing. So we wanted to transplant it. You see, you are saying, wanted to transplant it just a few, whatever, away from the house. But when I looked at it, I said, no. If I transplant, that will be the end of the tree. And that is the story of some of you. The day you are transplanted will be the end of you spiritually. Yeah. Maybe financially, maybe academically. So many things you don't know. You have to understand destiny. You have to understand that you are like a tree. Bible says, I am a tree planted by the living waters. And you are a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The Lord planted you as a tree. You are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. He shall be like a tree that is planted. Not a tree that is planted. Think of yourself, and in your marriages, think of yourself as a tree that is planted. Yeah. When you break up, as you go, one of the people I always interview are people whose husbands and wives have died. I always interview them. I said, when they marry again, I say, what is it like? I have received the commonest answer. I say, it's the same thing. Mostly. Some have better, some have worse, but mostly, they say, oh, it's about the same. It's about the same. It's about the same. It's about the same. Yeah. And you see that people get transplanted. People want to be transplanted. But sometimes when you get transplanted, you realize that you are lost. Everything about you is going to deteriorate. You are trying, because you realize that you are trying to leave this one for another of the same kind. That's why they say it's the same. And that's why it's not wise to be changing. As you've been changing girls and changing boys. Tell your neighbor, I intend to flourish. Wow. How many realize the stars have been flourishing since then? Yeah, do you see the dancing stars? They are also flourishing. Fantastic dancers. And all the dancers, they are going to get husbands and wives first. Before others. I don't know why, but that's what's going to happen prophetically. Number six, you can invest freely. You can invest freely with your life. When you know you are permanent, you can invest freely. One day a brother told me, he said, the house I'm living in, I want to buy it. I said, why? He said, so that I can invest in the house. Because when I'm repairing things, I feel I'm repairing somebody's house. So I want to buy the house so that I can renovate the house properly. I don't feel free. I'm spending my money. You know, I when I joined Lighthouse, I intended to stay permanently. That's why I invest freely. Like all of you, you may think you are young, but you see, I'm investing in you. You are gardens and trees. Hey, you are going to grow and flourish and prosper. You'll be surprised who you are going to be. You'll be surprised yourself. Nobody thought President Rawlings would be the president. I don't think so. My mother-in-law always says, When you see a student in the class, you never know what he's going to become. Because she's a teacher. We even call her police teacher. So you never know what somebody's going to be. Children, you never know. This one will be this, this one will be this, this one will be this. You can't tell. You, I can't tell who, what you are going to be. And you can't even tell who I'm going to be. The people who fought me, many of them are checking out on the website what I'm doing. They are always checking what's happening. Because they left saying bad things. And then it's working. And it's paining them. And they are checking on it. You see, when there is bad news, they are hoping to hear something bad news. And finally, number one is what? You are part of a family. Tell somebody, we are a family. Number two, part of what? A building. What part of the building are you? Are you the sitting room? Are you the toilet? Are you the kitchen? Whichever part, you are permanent. Number three, what are you? You are a garden. Amen. Number four, you are part of a tree. Do you want to be a withered branch? Tell your neighbor, are you going to be a withered branch or you are part of the tree? Number five, when you are planted, you will flourish. You're going to do well. Miriam, you're going to do well. You'll be surprised at yourself. And they'll be walking around, Lady Pastor Miriam. You will flourish. You are part of a garden. We are praying for you. We are praying for you every day. Every day we are praying. You can't believe I'm praying for you. The night, I pray for you. I pray for you the night. Yeah. I pray for you in the night. In the middle of the night, I'll be praying for you. When you are sleeping, he's opening your mouth. The pastor is praying for you and watering you in the spirit. Wow. What a blessing. And what's number six? You can. How many can invest freely? That's why I'm investing in my dancers. Because I know my dancers, they are wild. How many rather the dancers? They are not small dancers at all. Even you couldn't clap because you were paralyzed when they were dancing. You realize that, hey, is there a professional this thing? Wow. And number seven, finally, you have somewhere, amen? There are so many reasons, somewhere to celebrate your victories. Yeah. Joy shared is double joy. When you get first class, you come home and say, I got first class. When God bless you, become rich. You can say, look, I've prospered. When you become a president, you say, look, my president. I'm a president. No, Lighthouse, first president from Lighthouse Chapel. Wow! And I was also lit by saying, that's my church member. Or my church member is the president. Before you realize, they will appoint me advisor. Special advisor to the president. Presidential staffer. Number eight, you see the fruit of your labor. When you stay permanently, one day you come and see the fruit of your labor. One day when the First Love Cathedral is built, you come back and you say, hey, we were there in the room, Legon Hall Chapel, when we started. Every day, Bishop was saying, we'll have a building. One day we'll have a building. I never knew. You see the fruit of your labor. Number nine, you avoid the deception of short relationships. Short relationships, you avoid the deception of short relationships. Short relationships are deceptive. When you know somebody for a short time, it's too short to enter a relationship. When you've known somebody for a long time, that's the real person. You get it? If I stay with you for 10 years, 15, I can say that I know Alice, I know Rosina, I don't know, just when I just see you last week. Hey. So those of you brothers who come and you at short sight, short notice, you've fallen in love. There is something wrong with your eyes. And sisters, somebody just tells you are looking nice and you've fallen in love. Why? When you are permanent, there will be long relationships for years. Yes. Wow. And finally, you will have consistent pastoral care. Yeah, sometimes when a different doctor is examining you or looking after you, you see that one will start, another one will come. Sometimes when you go to the hospital and say, oh, where is doctor so-and-so? He's traveled. And then they bring another archery, something doctor. I say, I don't want to. Then you see that you want to go home. Because the original doctor that you've been seeing is not there today. I'll come when he comes back. How many have experienced what I'm talking about? Yeah. Because you are used to a particular doctor. And that person knows all your problems. He knows that last time you had a worm under your leg. And then now it's better it moves to this side. And this and this and that. So he knows. He knows you very well. When you go to a new... So when you are staying in a church for a long time, you can't deceive anybody. When you come and you are homosexual, you want to marry a sister, we'll tell her that this brother has gotten gay problems. So as you are married, you must know that he will be both here and there. But when it's a short relationship, we won't know that he's also gay. Because all the gay people don't come behaving like that guy who came on the stage here. Shall they come and see me after church so that I lay hands on you for that thing to go away from you? Where is he? In Jesus' name. Forgive. Do you have such things on campus? Don't do that. It's not good for you. You'll become abnormal for the rest of your life. Don't do it. Don't become abnormal. You will be abnormal, not for today, but for tomorrow you'll be abnormal. In the future, you will not be normal. You can't marry. You will never be accepted properly. No matter how many gay rights they do, for the next 50, 100 years, you will never be fully accepted. No matter, you will always be a catamite or an abnormal person. Yeah. Don't do it. Tell somebody, zip the back and the front. Hey! Lord, have mercy. The back and the front. In Jesus' name! Tell your neighbor, I'm permanent. Stand to your feet, everybody. Tell the person standing by you, I'm your permanent friend. Oh, you can depend on me. I'll be a permanent friend. Tell your neighbor, as I've met you in this school for life, as I've met you here for life. Give your neighbor a hug and say to the person, Charlie, me and you, Charlie, it's permanent. It's permanent. I'm part of the garden. I'm part of the family. I'm part of the building. I'm part of the tree. I am planted and I'm flourishing in the name of Jesus. You're my brother. You're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will walk till he comes. There's no hope that can defeat us when we walk in side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will walk until he comes. There's no war that can defeat us when we walk in side by side.
So take me by the hand.
Together. You're my brother. Give us the word. Sister. So take me by the hand.
Take me by the hand. Together we will
Together.
Until he comes.
Till he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. If we walk,
when we walk side by side, as long as there is love, we will stand.
As you have this mind, when one day you enter a relationship and you go to a sister and say, "Sister, I love you. Will you marry me?" It's a permanent proposal. It's a permanent proposal. You are telling the person, "Will you be part of my tree? Will you be part of my garden? Will you be part of my building?" That's what it means. Wow. You're my brother.
You're my sister.
Take me by the hand.
Take me by the hand. Together we will walk.
The person standing next to you, it seems you are not singing. I don't know whether you are an enemy spirit in the church. It seems you are not singing the song. Is it that you don't know the song or you are an enemy? Okay, look at the person carefully. We are going to sing it again. The words are on the screen. Ready, go.
You're my brother, you're my sister.
Hey, somebody over there is not singing.
Take me by the hand.
Your hand and thank God that you are part of a family, part of a thing, part of a tree, part of a garden. Thank God for where he has brought you. It is an introduction to something great, something that as you are planted, you will flourish, you will grow, you will develop, and God's blessing will come to you through the relationships that God is giving you. The permanent, long-standing, long-lasting friendships and relationships. God is having mercy on you through putting you in a garden and putting you as part of a family. It's God's mercy into your life. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your great blessing and your power. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today to our hearts. Thank you for stabilizing and establishing us in your perfect will. We thank you for what you have done and all the people supernaturally you've brought into our lives. We thank you for blessing us with this today. Help us not to be foolish and disconnect from the building and the garden and the tree that you have made us a part of. We thank you in Jesus' name. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, before we close the service finally, if you are here and you have not given your life to God, I don't know, maybe somebody invited you today, but you don't know Jesus as your Savior. What does it mean? If you die, maybe when you go to camp, when you go back, you die today or tomorrow. Something happens that you don't expect and you die. Will you go to heaven or to hell? That's a question you must ask yourself. Where will your soul be when it's over? Today I want to pray with you because I'm ending the service. But before I close, I want to pray specially with you. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to wash him to wash away my sins tonight, today. If you are here like that, wherever you are, pastor, help me to know God today. I want Jesus to come into my heart. If you are here like that, lift your hand up. Just stand where you are, but lift up your hand. And I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All over the building, I see your hands lifted up. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God, to Jesus Christ today. Lift it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see all your hands. High above your head, I see your hand. I see your hand. Now, if you have lifted your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come to me. Come to the front here. I want to pray with you. Come. Just come. Come. Come from the side. Come from the back. Quickly. God bless you. Come and stand here. Stand here. Come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Wherever. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. Today. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. I want to be part of the building, because you are not part of the building unless you are born again. Today, you will be part of the building. Listen. Close your eyes again. I'm giving you the last opportunity. There's somebody here. You know. Listen. If you were to die tomorrow, today, you don't know. You are not sure. Even your heart is beating. You are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. But today you want to mix right with God. This is your last chance. Lift your hand quickly. Quickly lift your hand up and come now, right now. I want to pray with you. I'm about to close. Come quickly. This is your chance. Don't say, oh, tomorrow I'll do. But you don't know about tomorrow. You are know about today because you are standing here right now. Lift your hand quickly and come. I'm waiting. Come from the back. Come from wherever you are. Quickly. Quickly. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Come to God. Come to God tonight. Come to God tonight. I surrender all to Jesus. All to thee, my blessed Savior. All right. Close your eyes one more time. If you are here today, you don't have the Holy Spirit baptism, you don't speak in tongues, lift your hand. I also want to pray with you. You don't yet speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit baptism, all right? Lift your hand quickly and also come to the front. Come and join this group over here and let's pray together. You don't have the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. Maybe you came to campus, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't speak in tongues. Come and let me pray with you. Come, let me pray with you. Surrender all right. Let's pray. Lift your hands up, all of you. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Today is today. I am coming to you just as I am. Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. I know I am a sinner. I know I am a dirty sinner. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. Now say, dear Jesus, please write my name in the book of life. From today, I will follow you and I will serve you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit that I may serve you with strength. From today, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.